I have heard several complaints. And I'm of the opinion that the courthouse belongs to the people. We've been closed on Saturday. I thought it was bad. And if I'm wrong, correct me. I think we ought to consider this thing. The magistrates have probably had more complaints than I have, but I've had some indirect complaints from people who are, I'm talking about responsible people, not just somebody grabbing what I'm talking about. You know, you've got to be sure. Did that stop it? No, Tom?
Well, of course, I mean, I was to begin with.
That's
my position, say that we should be open on Saturday morning.
All right, have you heard any complaints or anything?
Yes, lots of them.
Lowell?
Have y'all went to this?
Have you heard any complaints, have you?
Not recently.
Well, you're already open. I'll come up here.
I may take over your meeting, but I'd like to tell everybody on pressure opinion.
I would say this, I've heard every seen anybody up here.
Well, there's a reason for that.
I've heard every seen anybody.
When we were open, I heard them some of them. Be honest, but I just need to hear it there. You still have a lot of bad complaints about the courthouse not being open on Saturday.
Well, are you gonna be honest about it?
Well, man, working for Hank's group.
Gentlemen, let me ask you this now. Of course, most of the counties around us are closed on Saturday. Some other counties, Edmonds, the one, for example, they stay open on Saturdays. They stay open all day on Saturday, close all day on Thursday. Now, how do you want to handle this? Are we going to go back to the old way of being, if this census of everybody that we start opening on Saturday, we're going to open half a day on Saturday, we're going to open all day on Saturday, or we're going to open half a day on Thursday and half a day on Saturday?
Well, I thought somebody said the law was you couldn't stay, you had to, couldn't stay open half, you had to stay open.
I don't think there'd be any problem on closing noon on Saturday, because you're already going to be open 5 days.
You're going to be open, have a full day for 5 days.
If you open Monday through Friday, you've already got your 5 days, then if you open Saturday, you won't be open.
Well, this may not be what everybody thinks.
He's saying close on Thursday, which 5 days.
Now, if you want to work your people 5 and a half days, bear in mind, you're going to have to pay for it. Now, the law said if you work more than 40 hours, you're going to pay 9 and a half. And we are going to comply with the law.
Well, I'll tell you the first thing I like to determine, I understand this other time, I understood, according to law, that we don't decide when they open and close their office.
You decide who opens, when this courthouse is open.
I know.
Now,
I'm saying office.
Well, that don't matter, just because the courthouse is open, don't necessarily mean the office is open. The physical court has the sole responsibility of saying when this courthouse will open.
All right.
I understood that, but somebody also said that if we say it's going to be open Monday through Friday or Saturday, you see, but also I'm going to close Monday. I'm going to be open 5 days, but I'll pick my day I'm going to be closed. Isn't that not right?
You like the courthouse, how are they going to get into their office? That's what I'm saying. You determine when this courthouse is open or closed.
Not their office.
Not their office. But if the courthouse is closed, they're not going to open that office.
Is the courthouse closed on Saturday?
By effect, you are saying what is going to be open or closed, the physical court is.
That wasn't the way I understood it. Mm-hmm.
We had the authority to say when the courthouse
would
be closed, but we couldn't tell them what days
that
they're going to have their office.
Yeah,
I understand.
But wouldn't it be foolish for me to come in and open the office at the courthouse closed?
That's right.
So that's, well, you know, that's common sense,
but
we're
yeah,
getting
down
to it.
Knowing you, you'd have a pass. But that was where I understood it, that we determined what days.
Okay.
Well, we do have some things to consider, boys, on this open day.
I don't care if you want to keep it open 7 days a week, but I don't need it. I just want, I thought, what people wanted.
Well, you're
same thing I've said before, it don't make me know. I work on Saturday myself anyway, so it don't make no difference to me.
Well, I think
people just complain to me.
Probably the two biggest complaints is the fact that tax books are not open on Saturday anymore. People pay taxes during tax season, and I imagine James gets a lot of car dealers before they can come in here and license car.
Well, I've had some complaints about the sheriff's office too. I've had some complaints about the sheriff's office during the week.
Not being open during the week.
Well, it's one thing that I'd like to say. Like I said, I don't care. It's up to you people you work at. I don't care, you know, whatever y'all want to do. But for God's sake, let's make up our mind what we're going to do and stick with it.
That's right.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
If you want to, like I said, if you want to stay open, whatever, let's just do it and stick with it. Don't be just, I mean, I thought we voted this thing about twice. Everybody in this courthouse, we would have closed. Isn't that not right?
You want it open?
Yeah. Wayne Lovey was only two to vote it.
But it was voted on before you and Wayne Lovey leave.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think we ought to keep it open on Sunday before we come in and vote.
Well, like I said,
now, my position is this, and I'm serious about this. These people out here around Brewers are disturbed about this thing. Wayne Love to open his mouth there, disturbed down around all his daughter.
That's right.
Well, like I said,
yeah.
That's my only concern is what I said before, that I'll go along with the bunch, and I'll still go along with the bunch. We're going to vote on the bunch on Saturday, too, but I don't care.
But
well,
it's not me wanting to close.
No, what I'm saying, the majority of the people, what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
For instance, I have a neighbor that works over in Tennessee. He stays over there. He comes in here that Saturday morning and pays taxes. And I brought his tax money in.
Well, what if we leave the courthouse
open
on Saturday? The door's open. If they want to close their office, okay.
Well, no, I don't think
that's.
No, I think we're going to do an all
day
together.
I think so too.
That's pretty nice.
I don't disagree on that. We've all done it together once, twice.
Main thing that I'm interested in is right now, do you want to open Thursday morning, close Thursday afternoon, the way we have been in the past, and open Saturday morning, close Saturday afternoon, or you want to close all day Thursday, stay open all day Saturday, or stay open all day Thursday and work a half a day Saturday? But now bear in mind, you better check the budgets to see if you want to have the money to pay your overtime.
Well, now let's get into that overtime just a little bit. Let's talk about that. If we open the courthouse from 8 to 4 and you have an hour plus, you're only working 35 hours anyway. That would pay taxes. Work 10 days, work 10 hours a day. But that's another option. Now, take it for granted. But you're not going to get into that to the drink.
Who voted it for?
I do. Everybody else does. I thought we voted on that.
Gentlemen,
do you want to be open 5.5 days, or do you want to be open 5 days? Let's determine that. Do you want to take a half a day off on Thursday and half a day off on Saturday, or do you want to just stay open all day Thursday and stay open half a day Saturday?
Well, I can't, Mike. We have district court, traffic court on Thursday, and it's usually 6 o'clock before we get out of here on Thursday. There's no way I close on Thursday. So if you want to stay open all 5 days, then on Saturday, I'll try to arrange anything with you before on Saturday. Yes?
I'll tell you what people said. We'll change it when election time comes. That's what people told me. They said, we'll change it when election time comes. And I have very well told them. I don't care if it's open or not open. I made myself clear with the people. I said, brother, the people in the courthouse want it closed, and that's it. Not me. I work on Saturday. I'm here working. Here, that's right, though.
My office is set up for statutes, and that's what I'm saying, statewide, and I don't even have a place on my payroll for people on Saturday, but I manage that, so like, whatever, that's fine.
Well, what I'd like to do is make up a mind, and draw, ever have one thing to go with.
Well, I agree, but we have the other.
Don't just keep turning down.
Stay with it, that's right.
Because now, then, like I said, I don't care, whatever majority of them want to do this, but I'm for. You go back to, all right, well, we put a little pressure on them, they change us back, and anything you don't have a little pressure, they change us back, we get them in.
I'll tell you something, me, you, and him, and him are the ones taking the,
right,
the mail. Not Toad, not this man, not that man, and not that man.
I don't think we should put y'all up there, if y'all had to take.
I'm saying, that's what the majority of people want to start with, so I'm saying that's what they want, they still want to stick with it, they don't, but. But I'm not gonna be changing this thing anymore, whatever we decide today, we're gonna have to leave it.
Well, if you want to stay open on Saturday, you must, but I don't see that.
I'll throw my two cents in. I'd like to see it stay just exactly the way it is right now. I get calls on Saturday morning from people who say, I thought your office was open, they call me at home. And if they call me at home and they need somebody, I get up and come down and do it. Or if I'm in the office picking up the mail on Saturday morning, I try to come in on Saturday morning and pick up the mail anyway. And they like people to catch me down there. But I tell you, I'd a whole lot rather do it that way. For somebody that needs something on Saturday morning and call me, I'll come down and do it for that man than be here and have somebody here in the secretary or one of us lawyers here every Saturday morning. I'd a whole lot rather be agreeable enough to come in and see the man when he needs something on Saturday morning and call me home and ask about it than to be here every Saturday. Because I'm going to be here all day long during the week anyway. There's no 5 days for me. If we go Saturday morning, it'll be 5 and a half, but I can't take off Thursday afternoon and same boat toes in.
Majority of them will call you, old little bitch.
Yeah, no, that's something to do.
I think you put it on radio or newspaper, any office closed,
somebody say, well, I can go to this office and I can get this done on Saturday, and you bastard is closed. Well, I'm just frankly tired of hearing that shit, and I don't want to settle one way or another today, and I don't mean to be hateful about it. I just want to get it settled. If we're going to open on Saturday, as far as I'm concerned, I'll make a damn motion, or whoever wants to make a motion, let's open on Saturday and forget it. I know you have it, Tom. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that's where a lot of the criticism comes from. I'm not aiming at anybody individually, but that's what gets us in trouble. Hell, it'd be the same if I came up here.
These guys criticize me, and I just judge it so, but every 7 days a week, I come up there. And Saturday morning, I didn't get out there until 10 o'clock, making bonds. It was 15 guys in jail. But there wasn't one soul come to my office. I hit the door, I could see out there. Not one soul come to my office for anything else except to get somebody out of jail. Well, I'm up there every Sunday morning. You know how it used to be. I'm up there every Sunday morning. Sometimes it doesn't take very long. Sometimes it takes 2 hours. I'm lucky to get to Sunday school on time sometimes. But I'm honest with you, I don't see anybody around the courthouse.
Let's just bring it out for what it is, boys. Let's just bring it out for what it is. Some of the people have been saying, well, you know, that's going to beat their ass come election time. Now, let's just talk turkey here. Now, every damn one of us is probably going to run for one office or another. And the fact is, some people are saying that's going to hurt us politically.
Well, I'll say this. I think... if we want to stay open on Saturday morning, we ought to stay open 5 days a week, because I don't believe in cold in the middle of the week.
No, I think I heard you just as bad, to be honest, but.
Well, some of it is, you know, low, because you had to blow, half a day.
I think you gotta put in 5 full days, so if you wanna throw in another extra half a day.
Well, that's legal.
Oh, that's legal.
Or it's legal to close 4 days, because there's other counties that do it. They close on Wednesday, they close on Thursday, they open all day Saturday.
So if you want to open on Monday, on Saturday.
Well, like I said, you know, one thing I gotta say about town, but I just want everybody to make up their mind.
What's your opinion?
Because I'm getting charged going through this thing one way, then reverse the way, we put a little pressure on them, they change the damn place.
3 meetings we've had on this since this year.
That's right.
Yeah, we had 6.
We've got a lot of people waiting.
It don't matter to me.
Well, what I said a while ago, Wayne, if we're gonna stay closed, I mean, we're just gonna stay closed. Forget about it.
Do you think it should be open on Saturday morning or not?
That's a rough question.
Well, I know it's rough on.
The courthouse is willing to do what you say.
It's rough on us to have to make the decision too.
Well, I'll tell you where it's rough on y'all now. I'll be honest, like there's one guy that says, I'm called to O'Brien, and he'll go down there at 12 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock. And James, I can't get a hold of him to go down there on Saturday morning. Now that makes it rough on James at a certain point.
That's right.
And I've heard that. Of course, like I say, I'm like Bubby, I don't care what you do. I gotta work.
If we stay open till noon on Saturday, we can stop the 6 o'clock bus on Friday night.
About 4 hours in a year's time, they're arguing over this thing.
Let me.
All right, in the afternoon, where you going?
Listen, all right. I'm gonna make a suggestion, and we'll go around y'all and we'll put it out. We'll open 8 to 4, Monday through Friday, we close at 4 o'clock. Saturday will be open on Monday. If I don't give everybody an opportunity. Now, granted, district court, a lot of times they'll run over. And there's no way we can control that when they've got a hearing or a trial.
That's right.
And told somebody it's got to be there.
Circuit court too, if you got a jury out of the time.
Yeah, what I'm saying, I understand. I understand that.
That told you it up a little bit earlier, start the circuit court a little bit earlier.
I'm saying.
Circuit court when the judge starts.
No, there are times when I'm there till 4:30 and 5 o'clock, especially during assessment period.
Well, if y'all would rather say 8 to 4:30, that's fine.
I say, well, let's set up. Closing on Saturday morning. I'm with you.
4:30.
You said closing on
Saturday morning.
I say 8 to 4:30.
Oh, okay.
8 to 4:30 and open the noon Saturday.
You're gonna do that.
All right, Wayne, let's say yay or nay. 8 to 4:30, 5 days a week, and noon on Saturday.
That's fine, I'm with you.
Well,
I'm going with it.
Herman.
I haven't been around the courthouse in the world. I got so excited about finally killing a duck, I was running down to the water to get out of the water and slipped and put my arm on the way down. I got the duck out of the water and left it flying. I came in the emergency room. No. We were stalking them. We were slipping up on them. I'm like Daniel Boone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing I can do is apologize to you for having to meet in here today and the inconvenience that it's caused. However, district court is in session. The compensation board is meeting over in City Hall. And looks like the fiscal court of this county takes second or third priority in anything that goes on around this courthouse. So we'll go ahead and meet here. Sarcasm with that, you damn right. We've had some problems. Problems that called our attention, not real problems. Some of the volunteer fire departments throughout the county are actively involved in trying to create special fire districts, taxing districts. Aurora, Olive, and the Palma Fire Department, of which Charlie Hallmark is a member, have also expressed an interest in creating a fire district. It was brought to my attention by James and Weldon and Joe Tom some of the problems that we may encounter with the creation of special districts. Number one, how to put them on the tax bill, how to collect them, how to disperse them. Weldon, I'm just going to let you go right now and just kind of briefly run over what you and I discussed the other day.
Well, what it poses to us being on computer, there's only two columns left on the state tax bill that is provided by the state. There's only two columns that we can use for that purpose. All right, we're already talking about three, four, and possibly seven. And
possibly, we've got seven volunteer fire departments in the county. Is that right, Charlie?
I believe that must be about right.
Which five?
Let's see, there's Hardin, there's Alma, East Marshall, Lakeshore, Constant Pride, Benton County.
I thought we came up with eight at
West
the West Marshall Court meeting.
West Marshall, okay, West. No.
There are
eight, Ross, two of them. Pardon?
Is it Ross, Ollie?
Well, they're creating a district now. They don't have, I'm just talking about volunteer fire departments we now have. Now, Calvert and Benton have a separate way of funding theirs. Now, the rest of them are strictly volunteer here.
What it would might develop into, and I'm not this sharp on the thing, but I know something would have to be done to the tax bill or a coding system set up, and I would have to maintain seven or eight or whatever, a set of files for each district. Now, when it gets over to Joe Tom's department, he's going to have to do the same thing if we have a different rate. Now, my suggestion is if we're going to do it, have a county rate exclude whoever has funded fire department. Maybe, I don't know whether that's
how are you going to do that? Well, the fact that you've got Benton residents, a lot of them both in the county, and they'll be in another district.
Well, I don't know, Joe Tom, but this is a solution that has been done in other counties. They have it countywide. That's all I know. I haven't gone into this thing as thoroughly as I should for this meeting.
Well, Calvert City, no way I do that because I have separate tax books from Calvert City.
That's the only separate district we have.
Not only that.
Right. But if we have seven fire districts, you're going to have eight. Benton would be eight, and Calvert's going to be nine. And we got, as you know, two places on the tax bill to put. Tax bill as now divided.
You could exclude Calvert City real easily.
Okay.
They're separate. Well, how are you going to exclude Benton?
If we exclude them, I have to set them up in a separate district. And you're going to have another set of bills.
But you would have one column available still,
yes,
for excluding Benton.
Yes.
That could be done.
I've got two columns that I can play with. That's all. On the tax bill as it's now delivered to us by the state. And you're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 tax bill for Marshall County if you have to go on a separate basis. This is one of the things that we're concerned about. I'm not telling you that there's no way this can be worked out. I don't know. I've not talked to a few people, but I have talked to two supervisors that frequent my office pretty often, and they said that most counties have a separate bill, I mean a separate rate, instead of having six or seven different rates.
we can't have a countywide fire district. This is one of the things we talked about at one time. Instead of having, we could simply incorporate description, the geographical description that goes into the fire district, the whole county, or the whole county excluding Benton, Calvert, or the whole county excluding Calvert, or excluding any way we want to do it. We can set up a district that encompasses the whole county, have a single countywide board to collect that money and distribute it back to the various volunteer fire stations. Now, this has been talked about by, I know the fiscal court talked about this back at least a year ago. At that time, there was not the support in the county for a county taxing fire district, as there now appears to be.
There may or may not be. I don't know.
Well, there's four or five districts that are cutting out different sections of the county that are showing a real interest in imposing the tax on themselves to pay for fire protection. This is something that wasn't the state a year ago. So there's a possibility of doing this, but it, you know, would have to be a thing that the people would impose on themselves by petition or otherwise.
Well, if you ever still pitch a start one of those, I would still, somebody come with a house, $25, and I've got to give it to them out. And they're going to start their thing on, start a fire district.
They're talking
but
about from 3 to 7 to 10 cents.
That's right.
So every
rate.
One of them is going to have a different rate, so I've got to have a separate place for them if I do it on that basis.
What you're saying is everybody has the same rate to be like
separate. Yeah, be like separate for me or Jim or whoever.
Or if we went by county, you'll catch it sooner or later. Disperse the money by precinct or to combine a couple of precincts or whatever. That's going to have to be a lot of thoughts going to have to be given to this. Roger's going to have to check in the legality of it. I don't think the district particularly would have any objection to it, as, you know, as long as they were able to have a funding mechanism to run their departments. Now, what they're coming into is a lot of the districts, and Charlie and I were discussing this the other day, they have people that will pay their $25, say, for 3 or 4 years, and then they think, well, I haven't had a fire. What's the chances of me having a fire? I just won't pay it. Then if I do have a fire, I'll pay the $100 or whatever their rate is to come to fight the fire and probably be money ahead. You know, there's a real interest there for a while, but as time goes on, if you have a fire, your next door neighbor burns out, immediately you want some fire protection. But when they bail back, and after they've been there a few years, that kind of tends to get you back even back. I think maybe we should explore the possibility maybe of a countywide fire protection district and see what kind of reaction we get. Charlie, what kind of reaction have y'all been getting out in the Palma area?
Well, really, I just interested in how these other people were, because this is our first year, and so of course we've collected pretty well, I think, over the area of the people we cover. But we'll find out this coming year, next year, how well people are going to pay then, and I just figured these other people were doing it, but a few people is going to do the work. I mean, I don't object to it, but there's going to be a time that I want to do something else, and other people in the same boat. And what it looks to me like, it's going to be a matter, if it goes the tax route, we're going to have to take part of that money right off the top to pay somebody to distribute it. Just well faced it. Whereas if by doing it volunteer wise, that'd be more money going to the department. But if you could get everybody by tax district, way it appears to me. And a volunteer, you're not going to get a volunteer.
Now, Charlie, there's another thing to that. I understand this, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that a fire department on its own cannot borrow money on a volunteer fire department. Volunteer. Now, if you have a tax base to back this thing up, you want to buy a $50,000.
Volunteer fire department would have to be individual notes for the members of the department, I would think.
Well, this
right.
Is
they can borrow money, but they don't have a bonding. They don't have a bonding potential. They can borrow money because they've borrowed money from the bank, but it's on an end of year, I'd have so many of your trustees sign.
To sign this individual guarantee.
Corporation. We signed, the board of directors signed it for the corporation, because we incorporated. But, now what you're talking about, if we wanna buy a new fire truck, and if you're gonna keep a department, you're gonna have to add, get better equipment. And be sure now, next year, say we got $9,000 this year, I don't know, just look at a straight figure. We don't know if we get a dollar or not, no guarantee, in all honesty.
Okay, this is what was brought up by, I believe, Olive people, when they came in the office.
So, you don't know what you can do next year. So we borrowed money, but this is just up to the bank, or whoever's gonna loan you the money.
Well, bonding potential is, I didn't state that right, it should have stated bonding potential, that was borrowing money, but I.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I'd be interested in, and the thing I'd be against, I mean, is the disadvantage, if you don't have to use part of your money to administer, this is part of life.
Very little of it.
What money has to go for administration?
Tax, sure.
Sheriff gets part of it, or I don't know who all is involved, but everybody handles that paperwork.
No.
Well, the office, but.
We wouldn't get an extra dime out of it.
It would necessitate maybe my hiring an extra person if we go set the district, or maybe two.
But that would not come out of your tax.
No, that comes from the state level.
That would not.
We derive our money.
But.
The sheriff would get a fee out of it.
Okay, but there had to be some of it, I don't know what level.
Oh, yeah.
You agree to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right, here's what you might have to do, if it goes on an individual district basis, somebody in that district is gonna have to advise my people of who lives in this district, because there's no way I can determine that.
Well, I tell you, I was.
The masses, and maybe, but the fringe area is no.
My, the more I learn about it, I can see the more pitfalls, either way we go. Whether it be volunteer, or could be on a tax basis.
Now, there's.
Talking to Mike, I can see all these things coming up through the tax way. That's the reason I came back today, just my own curiosity, because.
You can establish a volunteer fire department without it being an individual taxing district. The calls I'm getting, I think the calls Mike's getting, is that not only are the volunteer fire departments interested in establishing a department, many of them are interested in establishing a taxing district for their service area. And what I seem to be hearing is that if all of these areas of the county are interested in having taxing districts, 4, 5, 6, 7 taxing districts, then it's far better to have a single countywide district, for a lot of reasons.
Well, Steve, this is what I was trying to say, 6 or 7 or 8 districts.
If the volunteer fire departments and the people that they serve, the people in their area, are interested in staying volunteer departments and not going into a taxing district, there's nobody interested in imposing a tax on the volunteer fire department. As I see it.
I don't really know what the people are, but I haven't really talked to people about it, because you gotta have problems the first year, you know, trying to get everything going. We'll probably see how many we get paid next year. Now, other districts do on there.
Of course, now you've got a situation in Gordon's district where you've got two volunteer fire departments within a mile of each other. And that's a problem in itself, you've got one district that would have to split the monies there.
Well, they're discussing now, maybe joining together, they've been talking about it. Now, it wouldn't be feasible for them to begin to think.
If it was to go countywide, how would the money be distributed?
There would be a single countywide board that would take in all the money from the countywide tax district, and then would allocate it on countywide basis, like the refuse district does, or wherever it's needed, the library district, this type of thing. I'm sure they probably split it up.
It'd be fair, since we're putting up 3 or 4 assets on the total.
Well, you got your troubles there.
Oh, yeah, everybody's gonna wanna be sure that their area gets the income, but then it falls just to the board to try to make a reasonable allocation.
Well, the way it sits now, this is Brassburg, it consists of all the way from 408 Highway, all the way into Moore's Camp, even part of Steamboat Road. And part of Steamboat Road and part of Moore's Camp consists of voting at Gippersville.
Yeah.
So Brassburg area, the fire
fire department is located, on 963. Two fire stations on 963 within a mile of each other. So how would you divide that up, sir?
That'd be, if the countywide board would be able, I think, probably to upgrade some of the departments now that need money, bring them up to a common level of service. It'd be difficult.
It'd be better off with maybe two departments, one north and one south, to handle. In other words, you'd be able to get more equipment. That would be a feasible thing there to do something like that. I mean, you know, if you, the more equipment you've got, naturally, the better equipped you are by the law.
I think the studies we've said that once you get beyond 8 miles from the, 3 miles from an 8 mile circle or 3 mile radius or 6 mile circle, whatever it is, you begin to lose your effectiveness. So we have to have stations scattered all over the county.
Maybe 3 miles, maybe 3 miles.
Then you'd have to have interest people operate these stations.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Well, now, in some areas, you have people that are interested in it, in some areas, they're not.
Which was, all of these problems, are one of the reasons that the county did not act on or request or have anybody follow up on a countywide fire district earlier. But now that all of these taxing districts are coming in or being considered, and I get calls about at least once a week, sometimes 4 or 5 a week, from people all over the county interested in setting up fire taxing districts. So there's a lot of interest out there. And what Weldon's saying, what I see, going to be one massive headache for 7 different tax districts scattered across the county. Logistics, that's what he said.
I agree with
you. But not only that,
but you're saying that all set up at the same rate, then
you have no problem.
You have no problem.
No more than your garbage collection or garbage disposal district.
Would this, would they set the rate?
Actually, impose the tax, right.
Now, we first, like the school board recommended, we might be bound below and do what they say.
Well, you know, we had that problem with the library districts, that the petition, of course, the petition fixes the tax rates. But then there was a court of appeal, the Supreme Court decision turned that back down, so you can't do that. So,
let me suggest this. There's no action we can take today. But between now and the first meeting in January, let's do some hard studying this. I'll get some of the ad district people to see if any studies have been run. We've got to take into consideration the amount of available water that you've got in the county water line. And we've already approved one district. Now, if we go countywide, we've got to go back to avoid the action we have taken with the Ross precinct. So I think we need to get all these people in, or at least the representative from each one of these voluntary departments, the representative from Ross.
Well, shouldn't you have a representative from each precinct? I mean, like Brewer's, Hart, and R.O. or Johnson, Gilbertsville, shouldn't you have a representative from all precincts?
Fine. I would partner with magistrates in respective districts to make your representatives. I mean, that would be fine. Of course, you've got some volunteer departments that are already operating now, and I'm sure they want to be represented and be heard.
Before that is going into, it's going to have to be some splitting up of some precincts.
Yeah, I think you have to combine some.
That's right. And I think there's a lot of changing made before you go into countywide.
You've got some precincts that are much heavier, more heavily populated than others.
the need is greater in South Lamoille. And you gotta take into consideration three precincts here in Benton are adequately covered. Calvert City has a good department, two precincts there. But, get back in the same old fight, are we gonna eliminate the cities and just put a tax on the county? Or are we gonna go strictly countywide? I just think that, there's no way we can make any kind of decision today. And I will initiate some meetings if you want to.
Well, just like you said, well, there's all these different precincts in Mount Anna, like those little old Gibbersville is. So if those people go ahead and work, if they create enough interest to keep on these precincts, then you're not gonna have a problem.
Well, let me ask you a question right there. What are you gonna do with the third one that comes in with the district? I've got no place to put it in the tax burden.
No, the only thing I'm saying is
volunteer.
If every precinct wants this thing, then you go to the county right down.
Okay.
I'm just seeing the interest.
Sorry, I misunderstood what you said.
Another thing you got, well, then for is property change of hands, district to district. Once that 1 year they'll be paying the tax.
This is what I'm trying to point out to these people. We work with them any way we can, and there's not a question of the thing. We don't say. But when you just say go out and do it, it isn't really that simple when you get down to the basics and get it on the books and handle it through my office and any office. No problem. It's really a problem.
Were you informed on this Ross precinct situation and talked to about it and aware of what would take place at this time?
They came in to talk to me.
Okay. Were you aware of this at that time? I'd appreciate them knowing at that time what we know now.
So this was the first interest that came to me.
Yes, sir.
Boston came a year ago when we discussed this, and they decided to go volunteer. They can handle it on their own.
Jim, let me suggest this. We've got a lot of people out there waiting, meeting with Gordon. This is going to take a lot of the next. I'll call a special session in January. Just this issue. And we'll try to have some meetings before that special meeting of the court. Because this is going to get into some deep discussion. It's going to be time consuming. We've got DOT people here. We've got other people here that want to meet the court. And we can be here to amend and not accomplish anything. So, well, you and Jim, I'll be hollering at y'all. We'll all get our heads together. Bill Thomas, you asked me on the bike.
I'm trying to
I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, you are.
convenience. John, are you going to be the spokesman for it?
I'll say my part. Somebody else say theirs.
All right, go ahead.
Judge, been on the court here and rested. Been brought here with him, been addressed court, which you probably know. Here's John Barnett. Where's here? John over here. Probably all of you know where we live. And what our problems are is when we brought the master in the past before this one comes along. I believe the one before then might back up and say, I'm familiar with the problem because I've served in this court for a couple of terms. I understand the problems. And along that line, I understand the problems we have down there. Our problem is down on Little Bear Creek there. I guess know these gentlemen here know where they are. Mike has two problems. Maybe you've been out there. But back several years ago when I was master, back before that even, they got in high school. There was a forge across the creek. There was a gentleman still back behind it there. Couldn't get in or out then when the creek got up. Gravel in the creek, so on and so forth. But back in the day then, I believe the county had two trucks, maybe a tractor, and very little budget. That's why the Mr. Gaston Pipe was master. The people got together and poured the concrete slab across the creek to start with. And then we had the problem of the water being up through the winter most times, still couldn't get out. So back in those days, no neighbor didn't mind having you, so we all got together down there and poured concrete buttons on the side of the creek. But the gas fired it, put it in a wooden bridge. So that stayed there all these years, which had to be rebuilt. When I was master, I put some R&D. Mean or nasty or anything about it, but I've been sitting right where y'all are. I know nice guy as can, it's gonna fit. So I appreciate it. Would look into it, but it.
Well, your concrete bucket's still there, John.
No, don't think so.
They're gone.
Well, John.
Or Matt's in the job.
Yeah.
Did that get up in the,
No, just got it up.
We have much problem there, Judge, of course, the libraries live back over behind, down that creek, I mean, you can leave it that way. Which last Sunday, I got out of church, I drove down there, looked around, I looked around several times. A lot of water.
Footlong, we don't, footlong left there, come.
Yeah.
You don't.
Four side.
That's a separate problem in itself, there too, isn't it?
Well, I guess it's a separate problem itself, right.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
Billy, Harry, Mr. Barnett, they live across the creek there. And also Castleberry, I think. His wife and husband. We have problems getting in out of St. Louis, I understand, living for Larry and how we're there too, there.
How big is the sewer that's in there now?
Maybe a 4 foot.
I've got 4 foot sewer, I'd say, two of them.
It's sort of.
Most places.
Sort of holes.
Holes around that. Over there.
Holes.
Holes that.
Well, it's one of them's round, one of them's oval.
Okay, the little one's oval.
Little one's oval, the other's round.
No. See, what has happened, put it in there, the creek was still higher than deep, put it down. But if it helped that water, if I could get some of the gravel, it would have been all filled up. I'm sure, I guess, it had to pull it. But maybe not half a couple foot, anyway, it gets gravel. The creek is filled up considerably, because it was on.
About 4 foot.
Well, it was Sunday morning, or that was, it was a foot, foot and a half of sewer that was sticking up out of the water, and the water going real low.
Well, that's what happened. Well, we'll fill that levee up, but if you get all using that sewer, well, that just makes good sense. You get the levee high enough, well, you can get all that. It'll be back to where.
Yeah, what's the boy's name, John, that lives on, that was having a problem with some of that gravel washing down his field to build that?
That's me. Me and Jakey Holt is one.
Oh, well, there's another fellow. Okay, that's been several years, and he might have moved.
My,
but there was a boy.
My partner, Jakey Holt, is one of those.
Bub, do you remember a fellow coming in?
Well, along the way down next to 1422 there, I guess, my Huck's on that. Well, what happens, Mike, this water backs up and then it goes over your levee there on each side of the sewer. It carries that gravel all the way down across the bottom, across the creek. Or creek down there. There's no creek down there anymore.
Washes the road out. You know, where Gordon put in fill there, then it takes it out when the water gets up. You've got that fill up again.
The water goes over on the left side of the sewer and goes down this road and goes over to Larry. And takes all the gravel off, you know, down in the creek.
How big a bridge you talking about, John? How many feet did you say it was before when you had it?
I imagine 14 foot, like John.
I guess it was 16. It's that last one overall.
16, 14, but I mean, most any side take more water than 4 foot sewer, we're all aware of it. But 6 foot square, 4 foot square take more than 4 foot surface.
The water could be stopped going over the road while that is being built. That's true. And we cut the maintenance out for the county. In other words, I'd say the county spends at least out of John's department there, at least 20 days, working days a year, which is money pulled down the drain. The water could be stopped on that road and the road up from that. But when you stop that water, then it's going to fill his base there for water. So that's the problem, right, John?
Well, there, down on camera there, you know, I talked to you, our son, he said, oh, make a picture of it. I guess we had a 12-15 acre lake there. Because that bottom over on the other side, there are castles, there's no beans, you know, all underwater.
Plus, you got water coming from your barn across the highway, shooting down the same creek.
It's rough, it's what, 2 foot deep. I come out of that Sunday morning, break through that.
What happens? Every big rain they have, the creek just fills up just a little more. So, and the next time the rain, it spreads out a little further. It just keeps it inching on over.
State highways underwater Sunday, and rain like that. What about just a normal, well, say a little more than normal rain, John? Does it still does it fill up and cause the way the creek is filled up and the sewer?
I believe John here will tell you on any normal rain, that's one of your first things you got to look at, right?
John, do you have any idea of cost estimate?
The way that is there, we need to drive piling. If you want to put something there that'll stay, needs to be some piling rolls, needs to be steel to put on top. You don't, you want to have this, like you said, like we used to, it'll be every 2 years to repair the whole thing.
Talking about state project.
To me, if we put a bridge back, I would suggest driving piling, putting my steel down, and putting a steel corrugated floor on it, cold mix over it, and you never worry about it more.
Well, that DOT picture coming in a little later.
Yeah, Bill's sitting out there now.
Tell you when we can do it.
Well,
but I'll say this, and we'll
bigger meeting.
That's the mayor. Tell that mayor. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, I'll go.
Hey, wait, we just met. Mayor, come in here. Take contact, man. Come here, mayor. We got something need to talk to you about. No, just a minute. No, we, it's a state problem. We need to.
I just came in.
Oh, we're bridge out there for John. Of course, we know you probably don't think you're done.
What bridge is, John?
One across Little Bear Creek.
We need to get special projects for you out there.
Well, I'm going to Frankfurt Monday and Tuesday if you want to go.
I'd say roughly, if it's a little Cypress bridge, any indication, of course, they have some excess material, I think, so. For my $40,000, I'm going to go. $30,000.
Get bugs there.
I believe they can do that now. John's a little cheaper, but that matting costs us down there, so there's a lot of work there down.
Thank you.
There's no questions about got that, and sheet three will be our 70. We got 70 and 79, that's not right. It's 79, 80. Total beginning July the 1st, 1979, going through June 30th, 1980. The total lot would be $151,077. And that's just kind of a little breakdown of maybe what we'd like to do. I think the main thing about this shows us that we need $115,185 to purchase the material that's required. And then we'd have a balance down at the bottom to still spend on material, whatever particular type. $2,790 balance to use for any other material like pipe or material, glass eye, riprap, or just any kind of material we need. Any questions about any of that?
Why did we get cut $10?
Well, the only reason, the only thing I can say about that, your county aid fund is based on 0.9% of your gas tax. And somebody estimates, I guess by computer, I'm sure by computer, that maybe won't burn as much gas for the next year as you did this year. If they don't burn as much gas, they won't have as much tax money.
Is this running through the form of every county bill?
So. Yes.
What's the total of computer drawn and you can do a little more?
You'll be reimbursed. You have been before. It's a little less, but it'll come up for this. That's $151,000, I would say, would be a fluctuating figure, or could be. It's just something that they give us to, you know, to base the program on this time period. Say 7 months ahead of July, they were working up a program, and then somebody's got to do some guessing somewhere, and that's where it's going to be. Any questions about? Is any part of the program that you all want to change? Do you want to? There was some question last year about whether you all wanted to buy your own material, and you said no, that we'd go ahead just like we'd go ahead and purchase the material for you. If you all want to change that, while you can.
Well, we discussed that, though, and I think probably some of you all discussed it in some of those points. We talked about advantages and disadvantages of buying raw material. Buying raw material is one thing. It appeared to me that we were asking what more discretion we would have in buying our own material, or would we still have to go basically with the, you know, your program. At that time, that we would still, you know, be going with your guidelines, your program. And if that be the case, then, you know, in my opinion, we're just taking on a bunch of paperwork that's all done for us.
What you would have to do, Jake, is we would have to approve a bid. Just like now, whenever we let a contract, we have to do the advertising and approve the bid and all this. We have to do that. Okay, the advantage would be to you that you could probably get three or four local bids. If they are in land and furnished material equal to or very nearly equal to what we require, well, we can
immediately okay to be it. And Mr. Hodges, we have a little committee there in the district office. And it could possibly speed up the time, whereas now, whenever we order stone, you know, sometimes it's 6 weeks before we actually can get it, because it's gotta be advertised for, but not that the advertising. And we run into a little problem there on time, so we can get that set out. Might be you can get a better price on some of your local vendors.
But it's doubtful, the only two places you're gonna get stone is clear over the rock and right. Crush stone.
Right, right. And you only have one oil supplier, so you don't have to
Well, the state is handling it all, so.
Right.
We need to do something wrong. We'll get started.
Well, what you need to do there, Bud, is estimate the stone that you're going to need. And if we're going to buy it for you, you need to let us know well in advance that we need to stockpile some stone.
Yeah. But I'm not wanting to. I want to take a stone and go in the blacktop.
Now you're talking about a little bit different item than we did. Whenever you go to do too much blacktop and if you change the surface on some of the roads, we will have to set them up as such.
Yeah. That's kind of what you're trying to do.
That's a national creek.
Right,
a national creek.
The thing is, you put out on top of gravel and put one on that. Yeah. And anything, any research team, like you can go ahead on it just like you are on it.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking of is the money we were saving on the 161 miles. Because possibly taking that money and going into the machine and using the coal mix to already out of my staff to work through. And do away with the fire and feather that we're doing now.
Well, that's no problem at all. You also get a price. Said you can get a price on your own fast-dry material, or you can use our price. We get a price contract anyway. If you all can negotiate a contract cheaper than we get ours, well then, first of all, I'd be able to go ahead and use our own price.
And you have an advantage there if you do try to get a price and it doesn't come out what you like.
Better find if you don't get there to come back up, but they have to sell it to you at our price.
Callaway County don't, that's for sure.
They use quite a bit.
Yeah, they got a way very cool.
Well, Bill, you told me that, I think you sound like this, somebody got this box coming up. I'm just what this program, you know, hands like this.
Judge, that's the route I'd like to see Bill next year. In train the setup personally, speaking of one.
Well, I'd like to try it. But how far would that be?
151,000.
How much? 152,000. How far could we go back? Sammy, good deal over this rough thing about 8 years.
You
You go with the name. You're talking about $20,000 a month.
No, $50,000.
Well, okay, I've got late.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mike.
Okay.
Wait a minute now. We're saying here we still kind of got to go with your recommendation. And I understood you once said y'all would not recommend the name Blackwood.
Well, depending on what's there.
How sure
and we cut this to keep you out of trouble, with not maintaining the other road, how much of that could we go with blacktop in order to keep ourselves out of trouble to maintain the other road?
Well, we got $14,000 up there at the top that we're going to spend for coal mix, for packing. And we can pack with Flash Ive, it's the same as we can with coal mix.
Like, say, for instance, just to start, say we're going to try to make the start. And we decided next year to pull a mile in each district, 3 miles. The rest of it we use for maintenance. That'll, if we use the figure $20,000, that's taking about $60,000, leaving the rest to try to do maintenance on the rest of the roads.
Well, Mitch needs to just know that materials would only run to about 13 million.
About 500, if you're going to put an inch, you take, say 500 tons per mile, we don't know what it's going to cost us another year. If they had $14 a ton, that'd be about $7,000 a mile if it's in material. So that'll help you a little bit.
Plus, one other thing.
Okay.
Well, like I say, at the end of this year, right now, we're sitting here with $52,000. Okay. I don't know whether you bought it in stone or anything, but after this winter, if you gonna have a bad winter, you got the roads in pretty good shape. Between say March and June, we would have no objection at all for it. $52,000 to be used to play back and bring some of these roads back to talking up, bring them up. But we, if you have a bad winter and all, then we're gonna have to suggest or work with you and say, well, now you ought to use some money out here and go try to pay a lot of roads rather than just take out 3 or 4 and make them good. You know, people are going to complain to you and to us on that. But, I mean, in the end, we can really tell more, I think, in March, what kind of weather we have. Any money here we have available on the supply, we would be more willing to go along with
it. But you were talking about $7,000 for material that we use. We pay the labor and get to the paper fee.
So y'all had to make arrangements for your equipment.
Coal makes cheaper than that, because they use the coal they got for them.
Yeah. Coal makes it a little cheaper, but you got to wear it a whole lot cheaper now for the quality of the material that you get.
You recommend hot
stuff? I would do it.
You would do that.
I wouldn't just say forget cold mix. But right now, the way the prices are running, there's not enough difference in your hot mix and your cold mix. Time you get your cold mix, get your sub mill, mix it up, handle your stone twice, and then you got to handle it, you got to load up, haul it back out there. You add all those triggers up, and put a little time back to that, and you got to try to contact the plant. They're going to haul it to you. Oh,